This is Rusty Tanton.
And Amber Ray.
And you're listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network, the show focused on all things Atlanta and sometimes elsewhere.
It's March 8th, and we are coming to you from OTP. We are in Madison, Georgia, at the Brady Inn. I don't know if you can hear my stomach making noise, but it's making a lot of noise for some reason. Anyway.
Probably those crystals we had for lunch before we came down here.
We are in Madison. Like I said, we're taking a little road trip this weekend. We like to take road trips around Georgia as often as we can, and we've made a plan to try to do one a month this year, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We have a big map at home in the computer room, a big map of Georgia, and we trace with pink highlighter all the roads we've driven on, and we put thumbtacks in all the cities and towns that we've visited. And today, we visited several towns. We went to Social Circle and Rutledge, which was kind of a little unexpected gem of a town.
Tucked away.
Off the beaten path.
Yes.
And then we came to Madison, came to the inn and dropped off our stuff. And then we went to Greensboro and Eatonton.
Yeah.
And we didn't take as many photos as we normally would, because usually we just take a lot of photos, because we like to document these little Georgia places and everything. But today it was really cold, and worse than that, it was ridiculously windy, like painfully windy.
It was a creeping sort of cold, because right when I would get out of the car, I would think, oh, it's not that bad out here. But after I walked around for 10 minutes or so, I was just freezing my ass off.
So a lot of our tourism was strictly from the car. But we got a few pictures. And we were trying to find out, we were trying to look on Wikipedia and Google and everything to see what the deal is with Social Circle. Because I remember hearing at some point that there was some kind of thing in Social Circle, like, not necessarily a race riot, but something like maybe with segregation or race, something. And I just remember hearing about it when I was a kid and thinking, huh, that's kind of ironic because the name of the place is Social Circle, so you think it's supposed to be all friendly and everything. But we searched for it online and we can't find anything, and we didn't really know what to search for anyway. So if anybody knows what happened in Social Circle, call or email and let us know.
That'd be great.
God, can you think people can hear my stomach making noise?
Probably.
Sorry about that.
We're leaving that in there, though, just...
I know.
Because...
we have, so far, we have one question via Twitter. We put out the call on Twitter for people to ask us questions. And this question comes from Nobilis. He says, I'm writing science fiction. What do you think of the idea that pole dancing would be an established mainstream art form in 2040? Well, I think that would be great. I don't know what else I think about that. I mean, if he's asking, do I think it's possible? Yeah, I think it's possible. And aside from that, obviously, I think it would be awesome.
Sure.
What do you think?
I think it would be great.
It's not a very long answer, but it's to the point.
I'm sort of like the color commentary guy in Major League who was playing to Bob Uecker. Bob Uecker would get drunk and pass out and while he was watching the game, and then this guy would freak out at the prospect of having to call the game, and then one of the Cleveland players would hit a rocket line shot to left field, and then he would just say, fly ball? Caught.
Did that really happen?
Well, it was in a movie.
Oh.
I mean, it's not like it happened in real life.
I don't know. I don't really follow sports. What the hell do I know?
I said the movie Major League, or I thought I did anyway.
I don't think you said the word movie, but I'm sure when we listen back, we'll find out.
We can wager on it or something.
Mm. Tomorrow we're going to some other towns. We're definitely going to take pictures in Madison, unless it's just too terribly cold, but hopefully it won't be.
Yeah, we'll still take a few, but I don't know. If it's as cold tomorrow as it was today, I can't imagine getting out of the car for a long
time. It'll be a from-the-car thing again. And we're going to drive around to lots of other little places like Shady Dale and Monticello. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Monticello or Monticello in Georgia, because wherever you go, that word is pronounced different ways. But anyway, we're going to be driving around doing the rural Georgia tourism thing.
You go rural Georgia?
Did I say it like
you that? You kind of did.
I can't say rural without sounding Southern.
I don't know if anybody can, though. If you can say rural.
Rural. It's an awkward word anyway. It's got those two R's right beside
it. I was going to say, if you can say it without sounding like a hillbilly, give us a call. We'd love to hear it on the voicemail. The number that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Hey, but it's on the website. There's a Statue of Liberty replica in McRae, Georgia.
Where the fuck is McRae, Georgia?
I don't
know.
We're looking at roadsideamerica.com right now, and I just noticed it. And I can't believe that the Lunchbox Museum in Columbus closed. That's really sad, because I've been wanting to go there.
Damn.
I know.
No lunchboxes.
I know. When I was in kindergarten, I had a strawberry shortcake metal lunchbox, and those are collector's items now, but obviously I don't have mine anymore. Let's see, what else is on our list? We're not at South by Southwest, obviously.
We're going Monday night to, no, we are not, I am going to a little thing at Manuel's. We're not at South by Southwest party. I think they're calling it North by North Highland or something.
Yeah.
It'll be at Manuals at 7. It's probably just going to be like me and Grayson and Griff Drift and a couple other
people.
But
that's okay, because any excuse to just go to Manuals is fine.
And have a couple beers.
And I think whenever we launch the new version of the Georgia Podcast Network site, which will be soon.
I promise it's not vaporware. I can show you a demo if you really want to see it.
I mean, seriously, it's coming soon, because if it doesn't, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, me too.
It is coming soon,
just had
people.
So much shit get in the way.
Well, it's coming soon. Yeah. And when it does, I think we're going to have a launch party. And the launch party is just going to be, let's go to Manuals. And maybe we can reserve that room that has the projector and we can show it on the big screen.
For like a minute and then just drink.
Well, and then maybe they can do a politics podcast or something like that. Anyway, so South by Southwest, I'm kind of enjoying more not being there, but watching the Twitter back channel on it. Mm-hmm. Although I would like to go at some point. I thinking maybe next year.
I will say, I thought the Twitter back channel was going to be really obnoxious and that I would hate it and I would have to quit and just get off of it. But I actually have kind of enjoyed keeping up with it a little bit.
Yeah. We want to go eventually.
Yeah. I know I was definitely, I've definitely been getting kind of conferenced out lately.
Me too, but it's like you said before, only certain kind of conferences, because we're really excited about Balticon.
Yeah. It's mostly just like strictly social media conferences. Like, I could go back to Dragon Con or Balticon or some of these other things and have a lot of fun.
Well, South by Southwest isn't like a strictly social
media. Well, it's like everything.
It's everything.
Yeah. I mean, I probably could have gone to South by Southwest and had fun, you know, but.
Okay, look, now McRae, Georgia is kind of in South Georgia, Telfair County. Mm-hmm. So that's where the Statue of Liberty replica is. Don't you ever wonder, like, what makes people decide to build some of this weird shit? Like, What makes people decide to build a Statue of Liberty replica?
Or the, what, two-thirds scale White House replica that's in Dunwoody or somewhere?
Yeah, and just, I mean,
if you're going to spend that much money on a house, why would you spend it that way?
But it's so, but even that, it's like, at least it's a house. It's something you can live in.
That's a good point.
But,
well, like the giant peanut in Jimmy Carter's hometown.
Mm-hmm. Well, but at least then, it's like.
Well, he was a peanut farmer.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a peanut
farmer,
still, and it's.
It's a fucking giant peanut.
I know, but my point is the Statue of Liberty thing, like, that's just totally random. Totally.
Yeah. I mean, you've got me there. It's there's no rhyme or reason to it that I can discern.
Also in Liberty Square is their version of the Liberty Bell and a marble memorial to Telfer County residents who died in service.
That's worth the drive.
No, I mean, I probably would drive all the way down there to see the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, yeah. But what about, I don't fucking care about the Liberty Bell replica.
Anyway, let's see what else is on our list. Well, I have this thing that I want to talk about. Do you have anything you want to talk about before I get into that?
The only thing I'm going to mention is that I finally decided tonight that I'm going to buy an iPod. You know, we run a podcast site. I listen to many podcasts at work, and yet I have never owned an iPod. Amber's on, what, your second?
Second.
You're on your second one? I find it, I guess, a little bit amazing that I, you know, help run a podcast site and yet don't own an iPod. So the motivation being that if I buy this thing, the only time that I will really get any serious use out of it is while I'm running. And of course, I have not been running lately and I need to start running. And so I figure that if I drop $300 on an iPod and it just sits there and stares at me, that I will feel guilty about it if I'm not using it. And so I figure on using guilt as a motivator to keep me running.
Guilt can be a good motivator.
Yeah. So that's my plan. I did send out a tweet asking for recommendations just because I'm leaning heavily towards an iPod Touch, but I also am a little worried that Apple's going to try to keep charging me for shit that it wouldn't be charging me for if I had an iPhone. So try to talk me if either, just try to let me know what you think, whether you think it's worth the slightly extra upfront cost to upgrade to an iPod, or excuse me, to an iPhone versus an iPod Touch, given that Apple will probably try to charge out the ass for stuff on a Touch that it wouldn't charge for on an iPhone in the future.
I think you should just get a regular iPod, but since that appears to not be in the running,
it's not.
Never mind.
It's either an iPod Touch or an iPhone.
I think the iPod Touch is annoying. And I think the iPhone is annoying.
Well, on this point, we disagree. I've played with an iPhone, and I really like it.
Hmm. So here's something that I've been thinking about. And Rusty and I talked about it the other night, but we didn't get it captured on the recorder. What is going to happen, like, say 20 years from now, when people have been blogging and podcasting and putting their photos on Flickr and their videos on YouTube and all that kinds of stuff, not for just a few years, but for like 20 years. What's going to happen? I mean, how is the internet going to have to change? How are like hosting plans with the capacity of data storage going to have to change? How are interfaces going to have to change? Like with Flickr, that's the one that I keep thinking of. You know, like once everybody has a number of photos that are in the quintuple digits or more. You know, when you click organize and it takes you to that screen where, you know, you can drag your photos around and everything and it automatically loads all your photos at the bottom of the page, it's not going to be able to do that anymore once everybody has like 50,000 photos on there, because that would be ridiculous. So how are they going to handle stuff like that? And like, everybody's just going to need tons and tons more storage space exponentially than they need now. Or would that be exponentially? I don't know. But anyway, the point is people are just going to need more and more. because their archives are going to go back further and further. And I just think it's an interesting thing to think about. Like, there was that parody thing that I saw a while ago that was like, Facebook in 40 years. And it's like, you know, everybody who is, you know, young in their 20s and 30s, you know, then they're old and like their statuses are like, you know, playing pinochle or whatever. Like, you know.
Bowels not sitting correctly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah. But that's going to happen, you know. Yeah. And I just wonder how infrastructure and things like that and UIs are going to have to change to accommodate all that. And I think it's going to be a little weird to think about. I mean, already I have almost 6 years of blog archives, which is a lot. But, I mean, I don't have 26 years of blog archives, but I imagine one day I will, because I don't really see myself, like, when I think about it, I don't really see myself stopping blogging. Like, why would I? I've done it this long. I can't imagine I would stop. I mean, I kept a journal before there was such thing as blogs, so, you know?
Yeah. I can see myself doing something for a long time. I mean, I definitely don't see myself not taking photos, for example. You know, I'm definitely going to continue to take photos. And, you know, I don't see why I wouldn't be doing a lot of other things as well, writing or podcasting or whatever the equivalent is in the future. The future. Anyway, I think the storage question is not that big a deal. I mean, storage is really cheap. I think the much more compelling and interesting question is, how are the UIs going to change? How are we going to sift through all of this data sitting here? Because even if you're not trying that hard, you can very quickly accumulate 10 or 20,000 photos. How are you going to fucking find anything in the middle of that?
And, you know, you're supposed to tag them and everything, but people, not everybody fucking tags their shit. And I get so annoyed at people when I see they have a ton of photos on Flickr and a bunch of them don't have any tags.
Well, and here's the thing, you know, even if you're trying to tag, though, it's impossible unless you're trying really, really hard to keep a really consistent tagging scheme where, I don't know, I mean, it's almost like you have to consciously do it that way from the beginning. I mean, look at people's Delicious, for example. My Delicious with all the tags in it are a complete fucking mess.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just completely worthless, like to the point where I really just need to blow it out and start from scratch. I can't find a damn thing in Delicious other than through searching. My tags are completely useless to me because I didn't, from the beginning, try to think of a scheme to tag things a certain way. And I mean, tagging's nice, but I really think that if you don't think it through first, then it's not really going to do you a whole lot of good.
I mean, I guess maybe the solution would just be more and better search capability.
Well, and I'll give you the sort of counter argument to what I just said, which is, this is the part where I argue with myself.
Okay.
A lot of the point of tagging is for search engine optimization and to help computers find things, not necessarily to help people find things. And so from that standpoint, you could say, well, even if you're not keeping a consistent tagging scheme, and even if it doesn't do your brain a bit of good, it is helping the computer learn how to find things. And mm-hmm. So eventually the search will be better because of your tagging, even if it's kind of crappy tagging, which a lot of my tagging is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's is kind of, it's unpredictable like that because, you know, sometimes you might use the plural, sometimes you might use the singular.
I just can't fucking remember all the tags I've put on other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to spend 30 minutes looking it up either, I'm sorry.
Sometimes I do, because sometimes that kind of thing provides a nice distraction from other things I'm doing. Welcome tedium.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Mm.
I find it, I'm kind of proud of myself that I actually tag things at all, because I know a lot of people who don't.
I can't stand it when people don't. That irritates me. Yeah. If you're somebody who doesn't tag your shit, I'm officially irritated by you.
Yeah.
So, I had something else I was going to say. Oh, it was on this same theme. I don't really want to talk about it, though, because too much because it makes me feel weird. But just, I worry about the sustainability.
Permanence.
The permanence of, you know, keeping these records in our society. I mean, it's awesome that people are putting things online and it's much more immediate and accessible to a lot of people now anyway. And we have, you know, all these records of people's lives and day-to-day lives and everything. But what's going to happen in not even 100 years, but like a couple 100 years and 1,000 years? I mean, it scares me to think that there's no physical record, you know, because, yeah, it might, you know, I've heard people say, well, CDs can survive for thousands of years if properly preserved. Yeah, but if there's nothing around that can read it, that can retrieve the data, who gives a shit?
I think the lifespan of a CD is more like 100 years anyway.
Well, you're probably right, but, you know. Yeah. I've seen some of these people get they're like very hardcore, like digital only, like this data and media will be preserved. And yeah, but if nobody can retrieve it.
Well, and let's take a step back for a minute. I mean, how long ago were CDs invented? How the fuck do they know whether they last for 100 years or not?
CDs were invented in the early 80s.
Early 80s. So 100 years hasn't quite passed yet.
Yeah. And so I just... So, like, okay, Rusty and I have been watching a lot of shows on the History Channel about ancient societies and that kind of thing. And, you know, there's so many things, so many societies that we just... So many records have been lost. We just don't have a lot. It can be because of reasons like, you know, they were burned and the Crusades or that kind of thing. Or it can just be time, you know? I mean, the Dead Sea Scrolls were preserved because they were tucked away in a cave in the desert.
Yeah.
You know, where it was very dry. And the only things that really have been preserved and stood the test of time are things that were carved in stone. And so, you know... A lot of people assume, like, you know, ancient societies, oh, they carved it in stone because they didn't have paper or they didn't have whatever. Well, why do we think it's so much more modern and sophisticated to have paper? You know, maybe they, you know, they weren't idiot cavemen, you know, yeah. they were people.
Well,
look at
some of the engineering feats that, I mean, there's some things they could do 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago. Engineering cranes and just stacking bricks on top of each other with precision that we're unable to duplicate even now, and metallurgy, you know, making swords and shit and using methods that we still can't duplicate 2,000 years later. I mean, just some of these things I've seen, and yet somehow... The tone of the ancient discoveries, I think. It's on ancient discoveries
in particular.
It has this really condescending tone. Like,
could it be possible?
Could it be possible that the ancients,
blah, blah, blah?
Ancients
yes,
came out of their
possible.
Caves and figured
but, I mean,
all this shit out?
The thing is like with the you know, carving stuff in stone, you know, maybe they weren't doing that because they were, you know, a bunch of slack-jawed idiots who couldn't figure out how to make paper. Maybe they were doing that because they realized, they understood... that if they wanted this shit to be preserved for any length of time, they had to really commit it to a medium that would stick around.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that something like paper or papyrus or whatever was very flimsy and impermanent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is that possibility.
Yeah, maybe they did it. Maybe it was smart.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be carving some shit in stone.
I mean, I know it takes a long time, but, you know, God, if we're supposed to be such an advanced society, maybe we could come up with a way to carve quickly in stone.
Yeah.
We could use lasers. We have lasers. Anyway, I'm trying to...
We should start a business doing that.
Well, somebody should start a business doing that.
Yeah, so people... I mean, yeah, we could start a business where we print out people's live journals in stone, right? And
I mean, it really kind of scares me, the impermanence of some of this. And that's why I don't really like to talk about it, because I worry, you know? There's nothing like holding something in your hands.
Yeah, flip side is my attitude is I'll be dead either way.
But
so.
That's irrelevant. That's not why...
I get it.
Okay, I just...
It's more of a selfish perspective sort of deal.
yours is?
Well, meaning like, it's not going to mean anything to me personally because I'll be dead.
That's true, but it'll mean something to somebody.
Oh, sure, I know. Yeah, I mean, I get that part of it. I understand where you're coming from with that.
Well, there aren't any new comments or questions on Twitter.
I could go check my computer.
Okay.
Why don't you hold the recorder and I will do that. And through the magic of editing, I'm back with no delay. So I do actually have some new Twitter tweets sitting here pertaining to a question I put out asking about iPhone versus iPod Touch. First of all, we've got Brandon Sheets, who simply says iPhone. We've got Greg Green, who says he's happy with the iPod Touch, but that there's a good argument to make for the all-in-one. Of course, in 140 characters, we don't get in-depth reviews.
What's the all-in-one?
It's just because it's an iPod and a phone.
Oh.
So, yeah. John Reynolds says, you'll be glad you went with the iPhone when they continue charging for iTouch app upgrades. So there you have it.
There you have it.
Twitter questions. Is that about it?
That's about it. We should have a couple of interview versions of Mostly ITB coming up in the next few weeks. I admit I haven't been...
We've been slacking with that a little bit, but we've also been
busy. Well, I haven't been in the mood for interviews, honestly. I like doing this stuff.
I sort of vacillate. I go back and forth with it.
But we got a couple coming up in the next few weeks, and they should be really interesting. Also, go to Sex 2.0. You'll hear a promo for it in just a second.
All right.
Bye. Are you tired of going to tech conferences and being called a dirty slut who hates America? Well, fret no more. Sex 2.0, an unconference focused on the intersection of social media, feminism, and sexuality, is coming to 1763 in Atlanta on April 12, 2008. Go to sex20con.com to find out more and to reserve your spot. And I promise, no one at this conference will say you deserve to get fired from your day job for posting naked photos online.
The song you heard in this podcast was Flux by Drop Trio, available only on Magnatune.com.
Thanks for listening to Mostly ITP on the Georgia Podcast Network. Visit us at gapodcastnetwork.com. If you have a question, comment, or drunken rant, leave us a voicemail by calling 678-389-9441. Who knows, it might be featured in a podcast. You can also email us at info@gapodcastnetwork.com.